Okay. If my husband were here, he would do the speaking and hopefully preaching too. But sometimes he does the speaking and I do the preaching. But no. just joking. I have my notes here. My notes say to say good evening. So I think that's right so far. Good evening, everybody. I want to thank you on behalf of my husband and my family and the ministry there for all of your support and especially your prayers. It's really been a blessing. It's really been a help in the Philippines as we've been there. I also want to thank you for the college education, even though I did pay for it. But it's really been a blessing, and I know that there's not a better college that you can go to. So if any of you students are thinking about looking to go somewhere else, this is the best one you can find, and it'll really prepare you. Even if you're not going in the ministry, it'll prepare you for anything you have. So that now pastor can pay me later, right? Okay. So, okay, our ministries. I just want to update you a little bit on our ministries, how they're going. We've been on the field for a year. We left last year. We've been on the field for about a year, and I'm back here just to give an update about basically what's going on. So we have our church in San Isidro Sur Luna. Okay, so Luna Apayao, Philippines. And that's our main church, and it's going very well. It's growing. We're getting there are a lot of people getting saved and baptized. So thank you for praying for that and for helping. Our facilities are small, but we make do with it, and we have everything that we need physically. So also blessing, we during the Sunday services we have the church, but we also two restaurants on either side of us let us use their restaurant for Sunday morning for Sunday school. So it's such a blessing, and we fill up those facilities too with our kids. So Sunday school is really interesting. One time I had 50 Sunday schoolers so in my class, just me and another lady. So it was kind of crazy, but it's really a blessing because you know that they're coming for the Word of God. There's nothing there that we have. We don't pass out candy and show them movies, and there's not a lot of entertainment. So they're coming because they want to be there and because they want to hear the Word of God. So it's really a blessing. Pray for my class. My class is preschool to third grade, so it's kind of just, it's a big age group, but pray for them for their salvation. Okay. We also have mission outreach, where we're trying to establish a church in a nearby town of, it's called Puntul Apayao. And it's a smaller town. There's no gospel preached there. They have Catholic church, and that's about it. It's pretty much a Catholic town. There's really nowhere else you can go. They have a tent, and they call it healing services. So you pay them, and you get healed. And that's their services. So they really need a real church there. So we're working to establish a church there. And last time I was there, we had 8 adults and many, many kids. So it's doing very good so far, and we're working on getting it established as an independent church. We're also, probably right now, Michael is working on doing another mission outreach in the other side, Sanchez. And it's a bigger town, much bigger. So we're working to start another church there. Okay, and another ministry we have is our Solid Rock Baptist Academy. Right now it just has nursery, kindergarten, and preschool. But we're looking if we can get bigger facilities to start elementary, and then we also need registration for the school. So we started, this is exciting, Pastor might be interested, we just started Bible Institute. We have 3 classes so far, so it's not a total institute. We would need, you know, more facilities, and we would need more teachers and everything. So pray for the work there. But right now we have, anybody is welcome to come to the class, and just whoever takes the test gets the credit. So we have, a lot of our teenagers are getting a lot of doctrine and a lot of truth by coming to the classes. So it's really a blessing. Okay, and pray for us. Well, I'm away from Michael. He's out there working by himself. Pray for him, and also pray for our visa status. Mikey, our baby in the nursery, we're going to get him dual citizenship, and I'm trying to get permanent resident visa so I don't have to come back every year, so I can stay there in the Philippines. So pray for that, and then also pray for our land project. We're praying to raise money for that, and we've been putting aside some money for that. So continue to pray for us and keep us in your prayers. And if you want to, we have a website to look at, solidrockphilippines.com. So if you would like to check that out, you can find.
This may be possibly our last service here. We leave a week from Friday to go back to Romania for another term. That'll be our second term. It'll be 5 years this December that we left for Romania. I can't believe it's been that long already. And we have been here almost in the States about 8 months. By the time we leave, it'll be just under 8 months that we've been able to come here and just fellowship with you folks. And we really didn't have that much time even at that together. The Lord kept our schedule real busy. And so every little glimpse that we could come in and just see and sit and see and watch everybody. And it's been a very, very big encouragement to us. And we often think of you guys over in Romania. I know with the new technology, as bad as it is, it does get all the way over to Romania, and we'll be able to watch the services and be able to be part of the family. And this is our home. This is where we grew up here. I remember coming here as a little kid and just coming in and growing up through the Sunday school classes. I remember my teachers, Brother Mashad, Brother Hartwig, Brother Willis, and probably going to forget some, Brother Pritchard, Brother Congdon. And just all the way up through the Sunday school, and then went off to college here, and this is where I met my wife, and many fond memories here. This is home, and just a tremendous blessing and opportunity to be here. Sometimes in Romania, for fun, since there's not all that many things to do, like she was saying in the Philippines, there's really not much for them to do, you know, so that sometimes for fun, we'll think back of some fond memories that we have here, and one of those is imitating people, and we like to do that. And so if someone says we've been talking about you, it may not necessarily be a good thing, amen? And so I want to sing a song for you, and the song came from many years ago, back when I was in junior church. Brother Hartwig, I don't know if any of you remember, he'd come into the junior church and he'd sing some songs, and the song I'd like to sing for you in a little bit was one that he would always sing that I had no idea that would later on be one of my favorite songs. But I'd like to do a couple impressions for you first, amen? Some of the songs that we do, this is when we're thinking of you in Romania, so have some many fond memories, and this one will be for Brother Nixon. I don't know if he's here tonight. Is Brother Nixon here tonight? Oh, I shouldn't have looked.
Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all.
Amen. We won't forget that, Brother. I got Brother Ogden. Okay. Will you be among the missing? Will they look and find you gone? The morning after Jesus comes, will your whereabouts be known? And anyway, we can go on. I won't. So if you get a little email saying we've been thinking about you, think twice. Amen. But this, on a serious note, this is a song Brother Hartwig used to bring to us as kids in the junior church. It's an old song. It used to be in our hymnal. Tell it again. And it talks of course, into the tent where the gypsy boy lay, and the missionary has given him the good news, and the response of the gypsy boy, which, sure enough, God's called us later to work with gypsies. His response was what inspired the song. Nobody's told me this before. Could it be? Tell it again. Tell it again. I'd like to sing that for you this evening.
Into the tent where the gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story, repeat o'er and o'er, till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Did he so love me, a poor little boy, send unto me the glad tidings of joy? Need I not perish? My hand will he hold. Nobody ever the story has told. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation. confession, sorry, repeat or and or, till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Dying, he said, as his last sigh he spent, I am so glad that for me he was sent. Whispered while low sank the sun in the west. Lord, I believe, tell it now to the rest. Tell it again, salvation story repeat or children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Tell it again.
And in 2 weeks, that's what we're going to be doing. Amen. Nothing new. Not changing it. Amen. We're going to stand for the old-fashioned King James Bible and tell it again and again and again, and God honors that. If you've got your Bibles with a few minutes that we have left, turn to the Great Commission, Matthew chapter number 28, missionary's favorite passage. Amen. Should be every Christian's commission. It's not just a missionary commission. And Matthew chapter 28, I want to talk on the subject, commission possible. Amen. Commission possible. I'm tired of being told over and over again, we're in the last days and nothing's possible anymore. I believe God's still on the throne. I believe God can still work, and I believe God still is working. Amen? And God wouldn't ask us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature if we weren't able to do that. And I believe too many of us have just come to the conclusion that it's not possible, and because of that attitude, nothing is being done. And let's look at the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, and let's start in verse number 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So before we get to verse number 19, he's telling us he's all-powerful in heaven, both and in earth. He says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I want to talk on that subject, commission possible. We're getting ready to go back for round number 2 to tell it again, do the same thing over and over and over. And surprise, surprise, when you obey the word of God, when you get your Bible in your hand, and when you go out and you do the simple task of the Christian life, knocking doors, going soul winning, it works and people get saved. And we've been able to see so many people get saved and baptized, and fruit now abounds to your account because of sending us over there to Romania doing the same thing you're doing here. Sometimes people think missionaries do something special. We have no magic tricks. We don't do anything that you're not doing here. Sunday morning, we're having Sunday school. We run van ministries, bus route ministries, whatever way we can get these kids into church. We have children's programs. We have Sunday night services. We have Bible classes. The same thing that you're doing here is what we're doing over there in Romania, and it's what God has commissioned every Christian to do, to be a part of getting that gospel to every creature. Don't let Satan sell you to the lie that, oh, you don't have anything important because you're still in America. You're serving in a big church in Haines City, Florida. I can do bigger, greater things somewhere in a mission field. You're doing the same thing, the exact same thing. And here we're being told all over, missionaries are telling you soul winning won't work anymore. I've heard here, even in the United States, people telling us, if you stand for the word of God, you'll lose your ministry. If you stand for the fundamentals of the faith, people won't follow you anymore. You've got to follow the new movement. And can I tell you, the very things that will help our church are the things they're telling us can't work. It's the devil's tactics. He'll tell you, if you give, you'll be broke and God won't bless you. You've got to, and God says, no, give and it shall be given. They always do the opposite. Oh, if you raise your family too strict, you'll lose them. And no, the Bible says, hey, train your children according to the word of God. And so they're always telling us the opposite. And here they'll tell us, you don't need to go soul winning, live a good life, live a godly life. They'll come to you. And the scripture tells us, no, we're to go to them. And it's a possible commission. He wouldn't give us something impossible. And so as Christians, as we say, okay, I'm going to be an obedient Christian. I'm going to go out and I'm going to obey the Great Commission and I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to get the gospel out. It won't be very long before the enemies will come. In fact, they'll seek you out very quickly and you'll come across statements like this. It's none of your business. It doesn't matter what you think as long as you keep it to yourself. I remember the very first couple doors I was knocking, I came across a preacher. It was right here in Haines City. It was a preacher, and I was just a teenager. I didn't look like a teenager when I was a teenager, amen. I was a little kid, and I had my Bible, and I remember knocking on his door, and he opened the door, and he said, "Can I help you, son?" I said, "Yes, sir. I'm from Landmark Baptist Church. We're out soul winning. We're telling people how to go to heaven. Can I tell you how you go to heaven when you die? Are you 100% sure?" And his response, he said, "Son, I'm the pastor of such and such church." I said, "Yes, sir. So you won't mind me asking. Are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven?" He said, "Son, I don't believe you heard me." He said, "I'm the pastor of the such and such church." And I said, "Yes, sir. And I don't believe you heard me. Are you 100% sure you go to heaven when you die?" And he looked down his nose at me, and through intimidation, he said, "Son, I've been a Christian longer than you've been alive. It's none of your business that you ask me that question. You shouldn't do that. I know more Bible than you'll ever know. Leave my property. Get off my property." And I can tell you, I left there feeling, man, is it my job to be asking people that are older than me, who have more knowledge than me? Is it my job? Well, here we have the Lord Jesus. Before he even sends us into the world with the gospel, he's telling us, "I'm all powerful." You see that here? We're going to give 3 points just real quickly. Number one, we have the authority. You see it here? We have the authority. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Okay, if you can think of somebody more powerful than God, then we'll listen to him. But as long as God says go, I'm going to go. I don't care who says no. I don't care if it's Obama. I'm going to go. And listen, we need to understand before we even set foot on the battlefield that we have that authority to be there, because they'll question you and they'll say, "Hey, no, you have no right. It won't work here. You're going about it the wrong way." Hey, if we'll know ahead of time, we have the authority. Right here, it's given to us in the Word of God. And by the way, why is it always the religious people who are trying to stop us? You ever thought about that? It's always the religious people trying to silence the gospel message, the very people who supposedly believe the gospel. I think of in Romania, I've been told so many times it won't work. Our ministry with the gypsies won't work. I'm told that preaching the gospel won't work. I'm told going soul winning won't work. And can I tell you, it's a lie. It does work. And the people who try to stop me many times are the religious people. I saw the statistics that were froze up there. A large percentage. You saw where the Baptists ranked way down in 0.997% in the Philippines. It's about the same statistics in Romania. We're nobody. We have no national recognition. You say, "I'm from a Baptist church," they have no clue what that means. That could mean Kool-Aid drinkers. They don't know what that means. They have no... You say, "I'm from the Baptist church." What's Baptist? And so the priests, they'll go around and they'll start spreading rumors about us. Oh, they eat their children. See how many children they have? Notice all the Baptists have large families. You notice that? It's because in a famine, they eat their kids. And they believe it. And they don't know anything. They don't have any way of knowing any different. And so the priests will come and they're trying to silence the message. Can I tell you why they're trying to silence the message? Because their gospel's for sale. You put your money in my plate and you join my church, I'll bless you, and now you have a hope of heaven. And they come to an independent Bible-believing Baptist church, and the preacher says, "It's not for sale, it's all been paid for. Whether you're a member of this church, whether you're a member of any church, it's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid it. It's not for sale." And they don't like that. It competes with their sales. And so the problems come where the priests are always trying to push us down. They're always trying to tell us we don't have that authority, that it's not our job. But before we go too far, let's look and find out that the Lord Jesus had these same problems in his ministry. The Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 21, if you'll turn there. Matthew chapter 21, we're going to find the Lord Jesus in his ministry, God in the flesh, being questioned about his authority. And so if God's going to be questioned about his authority, you and I are going to be questioned as well. And we better know ahead of time, we have the right to be soul winners. We have the right to get the gospel out. Matthew chapter 21, look at verse number 23. It says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priest," again, religious people,
And the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, interrupts him, and says, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? This scene takes place all the time in Romania. The priest will come while we're soul winning, interrupt. Hey, what authority do you have? Who gave you this authority? Matthew chapter 28 gives us the authority. We live what's called in a pluralistic society, and it's being told all over the television, all over the schools. You believe what you want, but keep it to yourself. But the Bible doesn't teach that at all. You better not keep what you believe to yourself. I mean, if we really believe that there's only one way to heaven, we believe that, amen? Only one way to heaven? We believe that if it's not through Jesus, there's no other way, amen? Okay, so then if we honestly believe that, how can we believe that and watch our loved ones, watch our country believe a lie and never one time warn them that they're being sold a lie? And so here we have the authority, but then that leaves us to number two. We have the responsibility. We have the authority, yes, and we're to go. God says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. But not only that, but it's a responsibility. It's a command. If you don't go, blood is on your hands. If I refuse the call to Romania, I'd still be here at Landmark. I don't know where I would be, but I would be outside of God's will. And there would be people in Romania that have not heard the gospel because of my disobedience. You understand, we can all think back in times of our life when we weren't the witness we needed to be, and we ask God to forgive us, and all we can do is press forward. But can I tell you, if you slack off, if you believe the lie of, it's not our job, I don't want to be a fanatic, if we sell it, buy into that a bill of goods, what's going to happen is that responsibility is going to be placed upon you, and you'll stand before the Lord with blood on your hands. There's a responsibility. I think back when God began to call me, right here at Landmark, it was under the preaching. Landmark has been mission-minded. It's been, I am what I am today because a lot of my teachers, and I had some good parents, and I give them credit, but there were some teachers here that had influence on my life. My first time ever preaching was right there, Haines City Healthcare, with Brother Brinkworth in the nursing home ministry, and just all kinds of opportunities that this church gave me and allowed me to learn of that responsibility. It's there. We have that responsibility, and so it's a command. The opponents will say this, oh, but the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And I say, exactly. It doesn't say not to speak because we love them. It says, speak the truth in love. And we can be a soul winner, and we can be firm about what we believe. Hey, listen, don't touch my Bible. Amen. I'm not going to trade it in for nothing. I'm not even going to take the word inspired off my Bible. Amen. I believe everything about my Bible, and I can be firm about it, but I can speak that truth in love. I can say, hey, the Lord wants to save you. You're on the wrong path. Can I show you the right way? It doesn't mean don't speak. It means to speak. Get the truth out. Get the gospel out. It's a responsibility. But then last of all, we see, we have the authority. Number two, we have the responsibility. But then last of all, and this is the greatest, we have the security. He says, lo, I am with you always. We're getting ready to get on a plane. We may possibly be here on Sunday night. I don't have anything scheduled yet, and we've got something up in the air. But if there's any way possible, we'll be here Sunday night. But it looks like this may be our last chance to see everybody. And as we get on that airplane and we head over to Romania for another 4, whatever, 5 years, We're not leaving God, amen. He's not leaving us. He said, lo, I am with you always. And so we may feel alone, but we appreciate your prayers if you'll pray for us. He's going to be with us. He's going to be leading us. And he had the same authority that you've got right here in the United States to preach the gospel is given to us by God, not by Congress, amen. And it's going to be the same authority by which we'll preach over there in Romania into all the world to every creature. And that includes the gypsies. That includes Romanians. God can save them. He saved me. He saved you. He can save them. We're leaving here a week from Friday. If you'll pray for us, we're excited. We're chomping at the bit to go back. I keep getting phone calls. The closer our return is, the more phone calls keep coming from Romania, from our nationals who are filling in for us, from the Morgans. They're excited. And just keep us in prayer. We got a lot of loose ends to tie up before we go back. Would you pray for us? But understand, the commission's possible. It can be done. And it doesn't require, you know me, I grew up here. It doesn't require any talent. I had none to offer. I had none to give. It just requires somebody who will take God at his word and say, you know what? I'll do that. He'll bless it. He is blessing it. Thank you very much.